But you might pick up, there's also something wrong with the question. What good thing must I do to get eternal life? Now, we know this guy at the end, spoiler alert, does not follow Jesus because he's wealthy. So he's not prepared to give up his wealth. We'll deal with that later. But it seems like in his mind, he's just wanting to know one thing. Just tell me what to do. If I can have one concrete thing to tick off my list to know that I'm right with God, I'm prepared to do it. He's looking for something to do. But we know, and we'll learn, that our eternal life, our entry into God's kingdom, doesn't depend on our good works. Well, let's explore this conversation and see how Jesus teases this out as he encounters this man and tries to help him to see the truth. Let's have a look at this conversation. First of all, Jesus says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good." That's pretty clear, isn't it? So it doesn't matter if you want to do something good, it's not going to make you good. He's not going to be good. You're not good, I'm not good. That is, we're not good enough for God because only he is good in a purest sense of the word. But Jesus needs to tease this out a little bit. So he says, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Well, this guy needs to, you know, needs the boxes to tick, doesn't he? So he says, well, which ones? And Jesus replies with 6 out of 10 of the Ten Commandments. Okay, so the Old Testament law that this Jewish man would know very well, Jesus gives him 6 of the commandments from the Ten Commandments. 5 through 10. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. And number 10, which is do not covet what is your neighbor's, do not envy what is your neighbor's. Jesus says love your neighbor as yourself, which encompasses that, but also encompasses all the rest of these commandments. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself. And the commandments are split into two, into a horizontal and vertical dimension. These are the horizontal commands. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this guy replies, all these I've kept. Boom. Gotcha, Jesus. Easy. All these I've kept. What do I still lack? It can't just be that. Well, I hope you know, I know, Jesus knows, that he's wrong. Jesus has just said there's only one who is good. And this guy's saying, well, it's me, isn't it? I'm keeping the commands. He probably wasn't around for Jesus' sermon back in chapter 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart, you're guilty of murder. If you have lust, you're guilty of adultery. You see, the bar is very high. The bar is very high. And we cannot keep God's perfect law perfectly. And so we fall short. This man falls short, but he doesn't know it. He thinks he's good enough for God. But he still feels it's not enough. So he says, what do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus is throwing another couple of commandments at him. The first two really are in view here. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Don't make for yourself something created that you worship instead of the Creator. Jesus knows his heart. Jesus knows what he needs to hear. Jesus knows what he needs to do. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He went away sad. We don't want to be sad, do we? And miss out on eternal life. We want to be joyful, knowing that we have eternal life. So let's draw a couple of things out of this. The first thing that we get wrong here, or we can get wrong here, that we need to consider, is trusting in wealth. He went away sad because he was wealthy. It says it very clearly there. He trusted more in his wealth than he did in God. That's really what he's doing. He's trusting more in what his wealth can give him than what Jesus can give him. Now I wonder, did he weigh up this decision? Did he think about what this decision really entailed? Do I want to hang on to these things that are temporary? Or is having eternal life more important? Do I want to have a complete focus in my life on these things that could disappear in an instant, because life is very uncertain? Or can I find my security in something that's rock solid? Can I find my security in God? Did he weigh up this decision? I hope you were paying attention as we had Psalm 89 read. It's a very sobering psalm, and I encourage you to read it again and reflect upon it. People, it finishes verse 20, who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. People that have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. It's very sobering, isn't it? Are you trusting in your wealth, where ultimately there is no eternal security in this life or the next? Or are you trusting in Jesus? So what's the right way? The right way, trusting God by following Jesus. Because in God we have true security for this life and the next. I mean, this is a big issue. This is a big topic, right? Wealth, how we handle our money, how we think about money, is something that, you know, really we need to think about every day. It's so much a part of our life. And so we really need to get it right if we're following Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus and put our trust in God and think about wealth? I find this book very helpful. Craig Blomberg, Neither Poverty Nor Riches. This comes from the Proverbs. Neither poverty nor riches. Better to be in the middle somewhere. But he has some very helpful things to say. I'll just give you a couple of his major points and just kind of let it wash over you. A couple of his points. Material possessions are a good gift from God, meant for people to enjoy. Okay, it's okay to have money. It's okay to have the things that money can buy. It's okay to enjoy creation and the things that God has given us in creation. So being rich is not a sin. We need to think about how we deal with it, though. Number two, material possessions are simultaneously, at the same time, one of the primary means of turning human hearts away from God. Okay, so it can be a good thing, but it can also be the thing that turns us away from God. Like all the good things that God gives us, all the blessings that God gives us, because of our sin, we can twist it and make it an idol. And so we need to be warned about that. He says a necessary sign of a life in the process of being redeemed, of following Jesus, is that a transformation in the area of stewardship. So we need to keep thinking, keep asking God for wisdom, keep thinking about how we handle money and wealth. And then he says, for there are certain extremes of wealth and poverty which are in themselves intolerable. So it's not good to be extremely wealthy. It's not good to be extremely poor. So neither poverty nor riches, that's kind of the sweet spot, I suppose. But how can we hear this warning and be discerning? Well, I've got three things that might be helpful. How do we discern where we're at? One, be generous. Be generous. We live in a world that talks about wealth creation. Okay, and we are part of that culture where we think about wealth creation and providing for ourselves for the future and having security for the future. And so we see a world that is becoming disproportionately divided. The top, I forget the statistic now, few billionaires in the world have as much wealth as 50% of the world's population, 4 billion people. So it's not just a disparity of wealth, it's injustice. I read about somebody suggesting a study, well, it's hypothetical. If you saw a colony of monkeys and you saw one monkey that had just gathered all the bananas and was sitting there with all the bananas and the rest of the colony just had a couple of bananas amongst themselves, you would think there's something wrong with this monkey colony. There's something wrong here. But that's more and more what we see in our world. So there's injustice in that structure. But, you know, we can't solve all the world's problems, but we can do our bit. We can be generous. Where we have extra, where we have abundance, we can use it to help others. We can give to help others. And if you find it hard to be generous, then maybe you need to question whether this is an idol. Second thing, be disciplined. Are you just doing everything you can to earn more and more money? You know, we can't control our hours that we work in some professions, and I get that. But when you can decide, do you miss church? Do you not do things at church? Do you not serve? Do you not help others? Do you not do, anything else but earn money? Is that where your focus is? When you can decide, how do you decide? Are you willing to forego that extra money in order to be at church, in order to serve God, in order to help others? Okay. Be disciplined with that. Thirdly, be content. Be content with what you have. I'm sure most of us here have what we need, even though we're in a cost of living crisis, and yes, some people are struggling. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's this guy, this rich young ruler. There's no greater ruin or destruction than to not have eternal life, to not have a relationship with God, to not follow Jesus. So, the wrong way, trusting in wealth, the right way, trusting in God by bringing our wealth to Him and asking for His wisdom in how we should use it. But there's another way we can get things wrong that comes out of this passage. We can trust in works. Trusting in works. We can't love our neighbours as ourselves and God with all our heart perfectly. We can't be perfect by keeping God's perfect law perfectly. Okay? I think we can all admit that we fall short. You see, the law has two purposes. It does tell us the best way to live. Jesus is not saying don't do these things. These are good things to do. The things in the law are God's will for us to live a good life and to be part of a good community. But the law, the purpose of the law in the Old Testament is also to show us that it's impossible to live God's way perfectly. The law actually reveals our failure, reveals our shortfall, reveals our sin. When I was at school, I used to go to the athletics carnival, and I like to go in every event, you know, even though I couldn't even do. So I'd go in the high jump, right? And you know, the high jump, you have the bar up there, right? And look at that, I go, I can jump that, you know. And then I couldn't, right? So I run, I jump, and I hit the bar, I go under it, you know, so bad. I couldn't get over the bar. I think I can, but in the end, I can't. It shows me that I can't when I actually try to do it. And that's the law. It tells us that we can't keep the law perfectly when we're trying to actually do it. It's a very high bar. It's a high bar that no one can get over. Right? So we need to be aware of the danger of thinking that we can get over it, of thinking that we can do the good thing that will give us eternal life, or the good things that will give us eternal life. Now, we need to be wary of this. When you do good, how does it feel? Hey, think about that. When you do good, when you give money to a cause, charity, a poor person, when you give money to church, when you take time out to help your neighbour, when you go to church, when you serve in church, how do those things make you feel? It should make you feel good, I think we all admit. Yeah, I feel good. I feel good doing those things. And that's okay, right? We want to do good things. We want to please God, and God will be pleased. We want to live a life that's pleasing to God. But when you think a little bit further, well, I'm feeling good because God is surely taking notice of what I'm doing. I'm getting brownie points off God for doing this. Then we are experiencing spiritual pride, thinking that those good things are going to earn our salvation. That God's up there with his ledger, and you do a good thing, and he's sitting there, he's putting a credit on our record. All right? And it feels good, doesn't it, when we think like that? Well, that's not how it works, is it? We don't do good things to earn our salvation. But you know what? When we think that doing good is the way to eternal life or the way to be saved, it also, I think, gives us a sense of hopelessness, because we drift into a religion of works. And this is so common to every religion, including Christianity. So we need to be wary of this. Relationship, not religion, by works. That's the Christian faith. Follow Jesus so that you can have a relationship with Jesus. We're saved by that relationship, not by doing good works, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to heaven, no one can be saved but by me. Okay, in John's Gospel. So Jesus says to the man, follow me. Now, not literally by selling everything. That's what he required of the man in that context, at that time. That's what the man needed to do. But what does it mean for us? How do we follow Jesus and not fall into the trap of thinking our works will save us? I just want to follow up on that, because I talked to a lady this morning in the cafe, and she said, I'm a Catholic. I have a Catholic background. I don't go to church much anymore. I said, how do you know that you have... I said, I'm preaching on this passage today, Matthew 19, and you see what it says here? What good thing must I do to have eternal life? What do you think about that? And she said, well, I don't know. I try to do good, but I know I'm not very good. You know, I make mistakes, and really I'm not perfect. I said, well, how do you know you have eternal life? She said, I don't. I just hope. I just hope that I do. You see, that's not a good way to live, is it? And that's religion by works, because you never know if you've done enough, okay, to satisfy God. And so people that live in a religion of works, whether it be a Christian understanding, and that could be Catholic, Orthodox, any type of Christian can fall into this trap. Or even, other religions have this same salvation by works. It's like living in a fog. It's like living in a mist. You just don't know what God wants you to do. You just don't know where you stand with God. Right? So that's the problem. We're thinking that, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? That's not the way to go. So what is the way to go? Well, Matthew gives us a context in this passage. He gives us a context. If you read on into chapter 20, Jesus tells us a parable about God's grace and generosity. Okay, we won't look at it. You have to take my word for it. It's about workers in a field. One guy works all day, one guy works for 1 hour, and the owner of the field pays them the same. And the guys that worked all day complain, and the owner of the field says, what if I want to be generous? What if I want to be generous? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's how Jesus finishes the parable. And then, in the very next passage, Jesus predicts his own death, his own suffering and death. So that is the way in which we are saved. Jesus is going to the cross to die for us, to take away our sin. So when we look at that context, Jesus is explaining to us, yes, this guy's got it wrong. There is no good thing that you can do to earn eternal life. It's only by God's grace and generosity, and only through my death on the cross. Read into chapter 20. But we can go back even to chapter 19, the very previous passage. Verse 13 to 15. This is what it says. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. You see the contrast. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. This man who was the complete package, who had it all, who seemed to be upright and following God's law, ended up last, missing out on eternal life. But those who are like children, who have nothing to offer God, no CV, no impressive status, no impressive deeds, it's that way that we are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Because we are adopted as children into his family. Good deeds can't do that. And so the guy who inherited the fortune by doing good deeds, that's one way, but it's the wrong way. We're children of God because we come to God with humility and humbleness like a child. And we receive his grace and his gift of salvation that is bought for us by Christ on the cross. And then we inherit everything. Then we inherit everything. Now, Jesus said, just to summarize the rest of the passage, it's harder for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, you can't get a camel through the eye of a needle, okay? Very difficult, very difficult. And so Jesus is saying, yes, wealth is an idol that keeps us from God. Be warned. But the disciples understand this slightly differently. They say, well, who can be saved? They're thinking, if this upright, total package guy can't be saved, who can be? Well, we know that nobody can be. Nobody can be. And so Jesus says, what is impossible for man is possible with God. In other words, we can't save ourselves. Only God can save us. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. And that's what it means to trust God. That's what it means to get our wealth in the right place. That's what it means to get our good works in the right place. To always come back to the cross and the grace and generosity of God. And then Jesus says, you'll be blessed 100 times over. You won't miss out. You won't miss out. You'll be blessed 100 times over in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. Amen.